It's gonna work, maybe. Be sure and watch that for me, Terry, with you.
Mm-hmm.
She has got eagle eyes, I'll tell you. All right. The second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians is a church in Thessalonica. All right? The reason why he wrote 2 Thessalonians is somebody had written a bogus letter and put his name on it and sent it to them and told them that the second coming had already come, that they were in the tribulation period. And he said, oh no, that's not true. I've got some things to tell you here. And I'm going to read you what this writer, Spyro Zodiokis, said. He said, in this verse we have the two signs, and that's 2 and 3. We have the two signs which precede the parousia of the Lord. One is translated the apostasy. And although it does not exactly mean, the verb from which this substantive is derived is apohistomi, made up of two preposition apo and the verb histomi, to place or stand away from. And he goes on and said, this occurs in Luke 2:37, 4:13, 8:14, 13:27, Acts 5:37 and 8, Acts 12 and 10, 15 and 38, 19 and 9, 22 and verse 29, 2 Corinthians 12 and 8, 1 Timothy 4:1 and 6:5, 2 Timothy 2:19, Hebrews 3:12. This departing, he goes on to say, is a standing away from the doctrines of the Bible and the doctrines of the truth, and a standing away from the truth. And we find out in the book of Revelation, as we studied on Sunday morning, we studied the history of the church ages, of the church age, actually, the churches as they have gone through the age. And we just studied from 606 to 1517, for the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. So many people applaud the Protestant Reformation. But the Protestant Reformation was nothing but a bunch of warmed over Catholics going out and standing away from the truth. Because they could have come to the truth all the time. The truth was being preached in Baptist churches since AD 30. But they didn't want it. Calvin didn't want the truth. Luther didn't want the truth. They asked both of them to come with them. And Luther finally ended up saying, well, at least don't preach against me. Will you do that? And they say, and accept my baptism. They said, we're not going to accept your baptism because it's not baptism at all. But we won't hinder you in any way. All we're going to do is preach the truth, and you're preaching some of the truth, but you're not preaching all the truth. And they were glad that Luther and Calvin came out of the Catholic Church, because it kind of broke the arm of the Catholic Church. Because they were really working people with the whole religious world over. Catholicism beat up everybody, and they were killing people. But then when Luther got in control, he did the same thing. When Calvin got in control, he did the same thing. They all persecuted other people. When they had a state church, and they, just like Catholicism, just like the Roman and the Greek Catholics, once they had a state church, then they were in control, and they were going to persecute everybody else. Simple as that. The Church of England, when it protested the Roman Church, actually, who did that? Who was the guy that did it? Wasn't the Church of England really at all? Who was it? He's famous. King Henry VIII. All right. He just wanted to get married again. And so, since the Pope wouldn't give him a divorce, he gave himself a divorce and declared himself as the head of the Church of England and started the Church of England. Well, in reality, all it was a Catholic church, except under his power. All these persecuted other people. When the King James Version of the Bible came out, they burned so many Baptists in England that they ran out of firewood the first winter. Because the Baptists were saying that there was an absolute colored, very prejudiced translation of the scriptures. And of course, when the preface to the King James Version came out, it made a very strong statement against Baptists. It said they wouldn't accept anything except what was hammered out on their own Bible. in other words, their own translation, and their own Baptist. Baptists have had a real weird, real Baptists have had a real weird trait all the way down through history, and they preach from the original scriptures. If you come here on Sunday morning, you hear Roger, he's preaching from a lot of Greek and Hebrew in it. And they say, why do you go to school and learn all this stuff? So you can preach God's word. That's why. Baptists have been doing it for 2,000 years. All right. Paul said that there will be some people who will stand off from the faith. In Jude 3, someone turns to the book of Jude in 3. Well, I forgot part of my sermon tonight and got, I almost preached it over again Sunday morning. You were here or there, Terry. A whole lot of life. Sometimes that happens. Jude 3. Jude is right before the book of Revelation, and it's only a few verses, 12 verses, I don't know more than that. Have you got Jude 3, brother? What's it say there? What did Jude write to?
It says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints.
All right. The faith, the system teaching, the doctrinal. Where did we get the faith? Where do we get what we believe? Where does it come from? The scriptures. Thank you, brother. The Bible. The Bible is it. We believe in the Bible. We preach the Bible. These people were people who were associating themselves with the faith, but they were not in reality faithful, or one of the faith, one of the ones that were what we call saints. They were not part. They came associated. They sneaked in. That Greek word means to come in the back door. It doesn't mean, it means to circumvent the front door where you can, you know, people expect people to come to their front door. But when somebody sneaks around and comes in the back door or the back window, you know, that's how thieves and robbers come in. That's what Jesus said. If this referred to the falling away from the faith, then words of Christ in John 10:26 would not be true. Now, John 10:26 says, and this is something that Roger used again Sunday, it's not those that are saved falling away from the faith, it is those that are not saved coming into the churches. And they come into the churches and they pollute the churches. What did Jezebel do? What did she do? She didn't try to destroy the faith of Israel. She polluted it. She polluted the faith of Israel. She said, well, go ahead and go to your church, but come to ours too and take part in our ceremonies. Of course, the ceremonies were absolutely adulterous orgies in the name of religion. Barbara Zobie says that no people that are actually saved are ever lost. Roger said Sunday morning that if you are saved, you're always saved. But if you are saved, you also act saved. Saved people act like saved people. A dog acts like a dog, doesn't it? A dog acts like a dog. Now, I've got a pig that acts like a dog, too, but he hasn't been around very many pigs. He hasn't been around dogs more. A pig acts like a pig. A dog acts like a dog. They do. They are just indicative. You take a saved person, and a saved person, when you are born again, you really want to do the things of God. The Holy Spirit works in your life, doesn't he, Brother John? He's there every day. If you go out and if you can harden your heart against the Spirit of God and you can go do what you want to do and the old things in the world, like John said, that he takes away those lusts. That's right. You have power over them. You don't have to do those things anymore. See, before you were a slave to them. A slave to him. But now, you're not a slave any longer. And the Spirit of God makes you want not to do them. talked about in verse 3, the man of lawlessness. Paul the Apostle referred to here is the same person referred to in the other scriptures with other names, the Antichrist in John's writings in 1 John 2 and 18, and 1 John 4 and 3, 2 John 7. And the prepositional anti, the Antichrist, this means someone who stands against Christ. And also, it can mean instead of Christ. The one, you know what an Antichrist can also mean? A false Christ. Now, there have been a lot of those, haven't there? Ever heard of a guy named Moon? You know, he says he's Christ, too. Why, in a lot of ways, Joseph Smith said that he was a descendant of the Messiah, and therefore a Messiah also, the Messiah that delivered people from all false religion. Daniel 7, 7 and 8, and verse 21, Matthew 24, 15, Revelation 13, the characteristics of this individual, the one who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship. He claims to be God. He is not Satan, but his coming is by the activating force of Satan. What gives this person the power to deceive others? What gives him that power? Satan himself. He will be a miracle worker. He will be very religious. He'll have no use for women at all. An unusual man. Nobody like him. Paul says that he's the supreme effort of Satan in the past and in the future. Paul, unlike many people in religion today, doesn't say that the world is going to evolve and slowly good will overcome all evil and everything will just be just an absolute glorious millennial reign of the people of God. Now, even the Southern Baptist Convention believed that one time. Did you know that? They were wrong. Simple as that. You have to look at history and look at it plainly. Sometimes you're wrong in history. The Southern Baptist Convention got off on the wrong foot one time. They said if you give us $3 million, we'll take the world from Christ and bring in the millennium. Well, that was wrong. That was bad theology. After World War I and finally after World War II, they finally gave that idea up. It got evidence that some of the theology and some of the theological teachers weren't exactly right. Oh, brother. Paul says that the outcome of this great war in the end times will be that Christ will overcome Satan and the man of sin. All right. I thought I'd read that to you because there were some really good statements in there. It also talks about the restraining force that is in the world today that keeps the man of sin and this great spiritual harlot from coming onto the scene. What is that restraining force? Huh? It's even more than that. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit will even convict man of sin during the tribulation period. You think people will be saved during the tribulation period?
Yeah.
The Bible teaches there are. And can anybody be saved without the Holy Spirit? Ever? Now just think about this. But it's something that people don't understand. Brother Greg, it's good to see you here. Who is the administrator of the kingdom of God in this present age? The church. Now, where does the Shekinah glory of God, the Holy Spirit of God, reside today? It's in the churches. Well, each assembly is made up of people that make up churches. Yes, we are. But as a collective body, each body of believers, that makes up a New Testament church, the Shekinah glory of God still resides in those churches, and that's what leads you into truth. The Lord says, when I go away, I'll send another comforter to you, and when he comes unto you, that he will lead you into all truth. He would give them the Bible. And he would keep them straight all down through the church ages. Now, if you study, and on Sunday morning, that's one of the things I'm teaching, how did people get so far away from the truth? Well, when you study the church age, you really figure that one out. That's where it all comes. So many people see the Holy Spirit, and they believe the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the world at the rapture. Well, the administration of God's kingdom and the churches in the world today will be gone. And the churches really stand against that evil one today. Now, churches are made up of individuals there. Churches really should be translated words. What should be the words translated instead of churches? So we can understand it better.
Congregation.
Congregation or assembly. All right. God's people are like the, Jesus said, the salt of the earth. What's salt good for? What? It's a preservative. Why, the American Indians over on this continent, they preserved all kinds of stuff with salt and pepper, by the way. It wasn't, well, I'm talking about pepper, I mean chili. You know, nobody in Europe had a chili at all. They didn't have any chili. They had black pepper, but no chili. And I'll tell you what, chili and salt is a real good preservative. Jesus said you're the salt of the earth. You're that restraining that withholds the one. When the Lord's churches are taken away, the Holy Spirit will not be removed from the world. Because the Holy Spirit as the administrator is going to be gone in the churches. But people are still going to get saved during the tribulation period. There's going to be a large revival take place at that time, but it's going to be a revival of dead people. Because when they get saved, they're going to die. A revival of dead people. Just like what happened at the ark in Noah's day. People got saved on the outside of the ark. Peter said that Jesus went down and preached to those that were disobedient in the times past. Is there going to be some disobedient people in the tribulation period? How were they disobedient? They didn't come to the Lord when it was still time. What it was. They didn't come to the Lord when it was still time. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Now let's go back and read that and look at it. We studied a lot about it so we can understand what it says. May, peace, Himas, Etos, Tautasin, Kata, Medina, Propon, Kote, Eon, May, Elte, Pe, Apostasia, Proton, Kai, Apokalipse, Po, Anthropos, Pace, Onomios, Ho, Quios, Pace, Apoleos. Don't let anyone deceive you, is what he says here. Don't let anyone deceive you. It's in the subjunctive mode. First aorist, subjunctive active. Third person singular. According to any way, any other way. If you go out in the world today, we have a forerunner of the Antichrist and the great harlot of the book of Revelation. We got churches that will let you join those churches and be an active member of those churches and believe anything you want to believe and practice. Absolutely. You can find it today. That's wrong. Now during the tribulation period, that the great church, and it's going to be a church-state situation, it's going to be that way. Then it says, because unless may come the apostasy, the standing away from. First, then shall be revealed the man lawless, the one lawless. What does this lawless man mean? Are there churches in the land today, even with the administration of the Holy Spirit in the world today, are there churches today that do not believe in the law of God still, in the laws of the Old Testament? You can do anything you want to. You can live any way you want to live. What?
You can get married.
Yeah. The lawless. The son. Now look at that. The heir. The whole wheels. Look at that word. Whole wheels. That's the heir. Now, Jesus was called the Son of God. The heir of God. The Son. The only Son of God. And he was. He was the only begotten God. John 1:14 and John 1:18 said, he is the only man that was God and man. He was the only God-man that ever lived. All of us that are born again have the Spirit of God born in us. That Spirit that is in us, that we are made up of body, and we are made up of soul, and we are made up of spirit. And we are born again. That Spirit in us is born again, and it's no longer the lawless one in us, but the law abiding one. Now the heir of God was the Son of God. Think for just a little while. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't really understand everything I know about this. But as Mary became the Son, or the Father, no, the Mother of the Son of God, there will be a Son of Perdition born in this world. There will be the Antichrist. He will be the false Christ. And he will stand against God. And it says he will be the heir of perdition, apoleos, the heir of destruction. I wrote this down here almost 30 years ago. The influence of the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit positively restrained the work of Satan and the Antichrist in this particular age. The restraint of the work of the Holy Spirit through the churches will not allow the Antichrist to come to power because we keep on preaching about it. We keep warning the churches. Don't let him come in here. Don't let him come in your door. Paul said that. Peter said that. Jude said that. He won't be able to come to power while they are still here. 2 Thessalonians 2:6-8. After the rapture and the translation of all the saved and his assemblies, there will be still be churches left after the rapture, and the lost will not know. The lost will not know the difference. Of the truth than all the lost religions. There will still be churches full of people after the rapture. Did you know that? I'm sure that Valley Baptist Church might even have a service after the rapture. There might be enough people to come here after the rapture. And they'll go along, and some of them are so caught up in the world that they won't be able to see that something really weird happened. All religions are the same for them. Somebody asked me one time, boy, you really preach a lot about Baptist theology and Baptist doctrine and everything. I said, yeah. They said, what would you be a Baptist if you weren't a Baptist? And I looked at them and I said, I'd be ashamed. Well, the Bible made me a Baptist. The Bible made me what I am. It's true. A guy one time, I was preaching his church, and he got up afterwards, and he told me, he said, he got me off the side, and he said, you know, he said, you really teach a lot. He said, do you really believe that a person cannot be a Christian unless they're a member of a Baptist church? I said, absolutely. But not exactly the way you think of it. And he said, well, tell me what you're talking about. And I said, well, exactly what I said earlier. I said, you couldn't be a Christian and be out there and be somebody else besides a Baptist. I said, the Lord saves anybody in Catholicism. Even now and then, a Mormon might get saved and not know it or something. somebody in the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, a Methodist. These people get saved occasionally, not because of the doctrines of the churches, because the Holy Spirit works on them. But when you're saved, where does God lead you? What's the first thing you ought to do after you're saved? Huh? Read the Bible and get baptized and join some New Testament church. There's only one kind of New Testament church. That's the one that preaches the doctrines of the Bible. All right? Then he looked at me and said, well, you know what? In that life, you wouldn't be a Christian if you weren't Baptist, would you? I said, you haven't followed the Lord. The Lord doesn't lead you any place outside of his New Testament churches. One thing about it, if you teach the Word of God and you really make Baptists, you're not going to run off to some up church. They don't know better. There's nothing better. Right. It's going to lead you to the truth. Now, this new church that Satan's going to found is a state-regulated religion, spiritually empowered. Do you think that right out close to us there's a Buddhist colony? Did you know that? There's a Buddhist colony out there by us, and people go there and they live there, and they're slaves, they're monks. And they wear these weird-looking clothes, and they just become celibate, and they do all kinds of weird stuff in the name of Buddha and their religion. Now, is there power in that? Does something lead them there? Yes. The same Holy Spirit that leads you to God, the Spirit... Remember I told you before, there are angels, and there are good angels, you know, the ones that follow God, and there are fallen angels. And then there's good spirits and there's evil spirits. Those evil spirits are called demons. Demons work in the world today. You go on and you turn some television program on almost every day. You can turn on almost any time of day and you'll see some necromancer on there. Well, he will, necromancer. One of them foretellers, one of them people talking to the dead. And telling you about the dead. I mean, that's real click right now. I don't know. I don't watch it.
I remember his name, though. He turned the channel
when
he's on there.
Yeah, all right. My wife, I come in every now and then to eat breakfast or eat lunch or something, and the TV's on, and here these necromancers are on there. Talking to the dead. Well, I tell you what, they're talking to spirits. They're not talking to anybody that's dead. When you go down and have your fortune told, you're not going down there and getting your fortune told by God. They say they got the power of God, but they don't have the power of God. If they have the power of God, it is this kind of God. It is a supernatural being, all right, but it's not God. It's not this God. Now, it's the God of this world, and it's one of his spirits. The Spirit of God leads you into what? Truth and self-discipline and righteousness. It doesn't lead you anything outside. He doesn't lead you any place outside of the truth or away from the truth. He leads you to the truth, and he leads you through his word. And you see somebody that will not correspond to God's word and will not believe God's word, then you can just about bet your bottom dollar that they're not being led by the Spirit of God, but by the spirit of this world. It's different. It's really different. There will be no secrets in the Antichrist day. No spiritual freedom or individuality. Worship by regulation only. Through miracles and great signs, the false prophet will deceive. The Bible makes a hyperbole here. You know what a hyperbole is? Jesus used a couple of them. Hyperbole is an exaggeration. Have you ever exaggerated to make a point? Huh? Jesus did. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Now that's a hyperbole. Yeah.
I don't remember what it was teaching here, but I talked to someone a long time ago in their teaching class, and they said that the eye of a needle is pretty
They call it the needle to the eye, but that's not what Luke said. Luke used the term for a surgical needle.
Oh, okay.
So he made it very plain.
Okay.
Yeah, all it's like the camel has to get through and crawl through this. There's a big door, gate, and a little gate to see, but that's not really what Luke used. He used the eye of the surgical needle, so we know that it really wasn't that. Even that could be a figure of speech, but a hyperbole is a figure of speech. It's an exaggeration. Jesus said, "You strain out the gnat out of your wine, and you gulp down a camel." That's what he said. That's literally what he said. He said, "You strain the gnat out of your wine and your water, but you will swallow a whole camel." It means to swallow the whole thing. Head, hide, hooves, wool, and all. To gulp it down. Now, is that really possible? But it was a statement. It's what you call a hyperbole. It was against the law of Moses to eat bugs. If you eat a bug, when you see somebody eating a bug, Daniel, you know they got bug candy now and everything like that? The Bible says you're not supposed to eat bugs. I don't care if they're, and they got these DARE programs where they eat all these worms and all these bugs and all this kind of stuff. Stay away from that stuff. Lots of gut cases. And the Bible says don't eat bugs. But when he says don't eat bugs, he said don't eat animals that are unclean. And one of those unclean animals, one of the largest one of those unclean animals, is a camel. He said you will strain out a gnat, which is very small, which you could eat if you were a happy motorcycle rider going down the street. You know about that. Smile, you know, happy motorcycle rider, you can tell him because he's got bugs on his teeth. You could possibly accidentally swallow a gnat, but you won't accidentally swallow a camel. Jesus used that term. You won't accidentally do that sin. The Antichrist, his rationalism will cure all the world's problems. No more money to steal. You can't buy and have any money. You can't work for anybody unless you have this mark, his mark, whatever it may be. His mark will replace every piece of money, and his mark will, you can't own any property unless you have that mark. That's what the book of Revelation says. It's not all it's worth. He'll be marked with this person's mark. Public executions, public beheadings will be televised all over the world for those that will not follow the Antichrist. We're leading right up that, aren't we? If you are found with someone else's property, you will be executed. There won't be any robbers and con artists in the world that can rip you off. I was listening to the radio today as I was working, and it said that they got all kinds of new viruses that can go into your computers, and these criminals and mafia people have hired computer hacks to go in and people's personal computers, they'll go into websites that are very common, and then they will go in and they're spies. They build a spyware that'll give you your credit card numbers and everything else, and they can charge you thousands of dollars that you didn't buy. They can steal money from you, empty your bank accounts. All of the nations that will be in the end time are in existence today. Israel will be with all the Western Bloc nations. And the Antichrist will be over Israel. Russia will stand against America and the Antichrist. China will stand against America and the Antichrist. And the African nations will also. Those are the nations. And of course, the African nations, when you talk about them, most of Africa, what religiously are they? Huh? all the Muslim nations will be against the Western nations and against Russia and against China. What do you have? Where are we? We have all the players, don't we? That's right. They have a fifth column in America because of the greed of the oil companies in America. They have educated these people and brought them over to America. They only wanted one thing from us, and that was our money, so they could get us, kick us out of their country. There's a lot of power there, but people have fallen for it. Fallen for it. It says that if it was possible, even the elite, even the elect, would be deceived by this. 2 and verse 4. Ho, anti-Kaimenos, Kai, Ikara Romanos, Epi, Panta, Legomenon, Theon, A, Sabasma, Poste, Alton, A, Tone, Naon, Tone, Artu, Siu, Kariste, Apodek, Nimi, Nimta, Yonton, Hote, Eskin, Theos. Well, this is quite a verse. In Greek or in Hebrew? All right. Ho, ante, kamenos, kai, hipara, romanos, epi, panta, legomenon, theon, a, sabasma, hoste, auton, aston, not on to you, ta si se, apo de, nin ta, galton, hote, esten theos. The one, and this is the nominative singular masculine, this is one person, okay? Standing and sitting and against and opposing. That's what all is in this word here. It means to stand and sit and oppose. It means to set yourself in opposition constantly. And being exalted. Causing to be exalted. Alright? Because it's in the passive voice. Something causes him to be exalted. Over everything being called God. This is that lawless one. Or object of worship. That which is reverenced. Romans 1 and 25 and Matthew 15 and verse 9. That's this word, sabasma. Sabasma. That which is reverenced or feared. He's saying against every object of real true worship. So as him in the holy place of God, the dwelling place, you know what this word is? This is in the Jewish temple. That's what it's talking about, the Naos. When Judas went into the Naos, that was the holy place in the temple. Herod's temple, that was the holy place of Herod's temple, that Judas went in there and took the money that he had taken for selling out the Lord and threw it in there in this holy of holies. This holy place of God. Now he's going to set and he's going to point himself out as if he is God. He's going to, and this is going to be the turning place of Israel. The tribulation period is coming upon this world for one basic reason. There's one basic reason that the tribulation period has come upon the earth. What is that purpose? To bring Israel back to God. Because God will use Israel for 1,000 years and millennium, and she will be his administrator on the earth. His churches will be administrating with him above the earth in New Jerusalem. But on the earth, on the planet earth, okay, Israel will be God's administrators of his kingdom on earth. Okay? The Jehovah's Witnesses keep saying that they want to be in God's kingdom. on the earth, not in heaven. Well, I tell you what, I want to be in heaven with the Lord, not on the earth. Because two out of every three of those Jews are going to die. And right here is the real turning point that it's talking about. This is the middle of the tribulation period. If you look at your little map now, God's plan of the ages, what it's talking about here is this middle of the week, middle of the tribulation week. It's called the week because it's 7 years. It's a week of years. Okay? And Daniel said it was coming upon his people. And who is Daniel's people? Israel, or the Jewish people. All right? It's coming upon them. Right in the middle of this week, God is going to grab Israel by the throat and shake her real good. He's going to get her attention. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 talks about the powers of Satan. They're going to absolutely see the power of Satan in persona, personified in human beings. When Jesus came, he was God in flesh. Israel wouldn't accept that, would they? They didn't want to accept him. They wanted to murder him. They said, if he is really the Messiah, we won't be able to kill him. If you are God's Son, come down off the cross now. They couldn't see that the Son of God was supposed to die on the cross. They feel if he was really God, then nobody could kill God. All right? But the God-man, the person, Jesus Christ, the person, the human part of Jesus could die. And the eternal God that was in Jesus could taste death. God could die, but he could taste, he could experience that death through the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? Well, he didn't stay dead, did he? No power in this world, in the universe, could keep him in the grave. Satan couldn't do it. Satan wouldn't like him, though. Well, in this last period of time that God is going to bring Israel's attention back to him, during this whole 7-year tribulation period, the first part of that tribulation period is going to be a time of peace and safety. And their leader is going to lead out through the whole world, and he's going to give the world peace. And it's going to be in a time of terrible turmoil. Are we in that time today? Or, well, are we leading up to, could we be leading up to that period of time? All the players are in place. We have a tremendous problem. A lot of mistakes have been made in this world by religious leaders. And we are in an absolute war that we don't know how to get out of. The Antichrist is going to have the solution. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. But he's going to come in on a platform of peace. And he's going to be on his throne of peace. All right? But right in the middle of this tribulation period, he's going to set up a worldwide religion. Everybody's going to go to church. Everybody's going to tithe. Whatever he wants, that's what you're going to do. Everybody's going to have his number. As the Catholic Church baptized all the babies, he's going to mark them. He's going to mark everybody. That's part of his team. They're going to have his mark on it. You're not going to work. You're not going to eat. You're not going to live on the earth without his mark. But right here in the middle of the tribulation period, after he builds the temple of God in Israel, in Jerusalem, by the way, he'll build that temple in Jerusalem. This great temple will be built in Jerusalem. The Antichrist is going to build it. The Antichrist is going to build this temple. That's why Israel accepted Herod to be building the temple. They're expecting their Messiah to build a temple. Well, this temple that the Messiah is going to build, all of a sudden, after this the world peace contract for 3.5 years, right in the middle of that 3.5 years, he's going to stand up and said, I am God. Worship me now. And all the world will fall down and they will worship Satan through this Antichrist. But there's going to be some people listening. Have you ever had a salesman work you over? And all of a sudden you sign the contract and you look back and say, what did I do? What did he talk me into now? Let me look at this fine print one more time, and all of a sudden you feel that you've been had. Well, that's what Israel's going to realize. They've been had. And Jesus told them, you will not see me again until you say, blessed and holy is he. In the name of the Lord. And then he said, when you call upon me, you will see me and I'll come to you. And you'll say, where did you get those scars in your hands? And that hole in your side and in your feet. And he said, in the house of my friends. And they said, they will weep like one weeping for an only son that has been slaughtered. And God will protect them. At that period of time, they're going to flee. Many theologians believe that they'll flee down toward a little old Arabian city called Petra. Yeah, the Red Rose City of Petra. The Red Rock City of Petra. That they'll go down there and God will protect them. The Antichrist will send armies after them and great powers will come after them. But what's God going to do? Huh? He's going to swallow up the armies, it said, with the earth itself. Earthquake? The earth's going to open up and swallow them up somehow or another. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it says it is, so I believe it. And he's going to protect them. For 3.5 years, this isn't going to happen. I mean, this is going to be a lot of protecting. He's going to try every way in the world. You know, if Satan could destroy Israel, he could nullify all the promises of God. Did you know that? He could. He could nullify all the promises of God. So, God saw dust in my eyes from today. I'm sawing. If Hitler could have destroyed all the Jewish people, he could have destroyed the promises of God. If Martin Luther could have actually had enough power, which he did through Hitler, that's what Hitler did. He just followed Martin Luther's instructions. Martin Luther says that all the people of Israel, all of the Jews, ought to be taken and put in work camps. They ought to put in concentration camps. Every male ought to be neutered, and every female ought to be stopped from having any children, any offspring at all, and they ought to be worked until they're all dead. Because God hates them. Of course, Luther and Calvin had a real weird view of the second coming of the Lord. They thought it was the millennium. Actually, in reality, sometimes they were all millennialists. It's hard to absolutely explain all of the twisted philosophy that came down to them from some of the Catholic leaders that are very famous in the world. Have you ever heard The City of God by, I can't even think of his name, one of the great theologians? Luther and Calvin both studied his works very much and put it into power. They just what? Starts with an A, I think. I can't even think of his name. Saint, I call him Saint something. I can't even think of it. I probably will in a few minutes. Anyway, they took his writings and they took it literally. And they of course, at that period of time, the early churches at that time hated the Jewish people because they had so much trouble with them. But God is a God that doesn't forget his promises. Because of what he promised David and because of what he promised Abraham, he is going to call them back into his covenant relationship with himself. and he is going to use them in that after that tribulation period to be administrators on his kingdom on this earth. This is a millennial reign that so many people deny. And Calvin and Luther, every bit of the promises that were given to Israel were applied to the church, and said the term Israel doesn't really mean Israel, but it means the church now. But when the Bible talks of Israel, it means Israel. When it talks of the church, it means the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two separate entities, and when you get those confused up, that confused and mixed up, then your theology is going to be confused and mixed up. Because God still has something to do with Israel. He's got plans for her in the future. And I don't want to be on this earth. I don't want to be part of one of them Jews. I'm going to be up there with the Lord in New Jerusalem. 2 and verse 5. Who, and this is a hard word to say, Mammonuite. Our word memory comes from that, by the way. The word memory comes from this word. Hote, ete, on, pros, kimos, halta, telegon, kimen. Don't you remember, he says. President Perry, the act. Or President Dignity back then, that is, it could be either way. Don't you call to your memory that because while I was yet among you, these things I kept on telling you? Don't you remember what I told you? I kept telling you these things about the Lord, about the second coming of the Lord. Paul said he would give his very soul that Israel might be saved. Well, you know what? Israel's going to be saved. He's going to be saved right here. A lot of them are going to be killed, but the nation Israel, there will be a remnant of Israel that will glorify God. For 3.5 years, God is going to let the world pulverize them. That 144,000. That tells you that at least that many are going to be sealed. There may be more than that. I kept on saying, Elegon. Look at that word Elegon there. That's first person singular and perfect indicative active. Mark kept on using this word. He used elegon over and over and over and over when he referred to Jesus. I kept on saying to you, I kept on saying to you over and over again. That's in perfect tense. It's something that continues. Paul said, I told you and I told you and I told you. Your mom ever say to you, how many times did I tell you? Your daddy, how many times did I tell you? I kept on telling you this and you wouldn't listen to me. I got a guy that works for me that sometimes it's really hard to explain things to him. Matter of fact, might near impossible. How many of you know anything about electricity? Anybody know anything about electricity?
Light switch.
Yeah, light switch.
Light bulb.
Some people you just can't explain things to. Well, in every, this is just an illustration. I've got an old house out there in the back. And that old house has what you call push-o-matic breakers in it. And it's so old, these things are the very first breakers that were ever made after fuses. It's got two poles that come in. There's 110 over here and 110 over here. Now, if you want 220, you've got ground over here, all right? Now, if you want to make 220 out of that, what can you do? Can you grab two places off of here?
No.
You have to have one on each side, don't you? You have a single phase over here and a single phase, 110 single phase and 110 single phase. And when you end up, you've got 220 two phase. All right? Now, that ought to be 1 plus 2 equals 1 plus 1 equals 2, okay? Sometimes you can't explain this to some people. It's real simple, but some people can't understand it. Because they think if they get two of them over here, that two of these 110 will make 220. But it takes two opposites to make 220 or 240 or 230 or 215, whatever you want to call it. You've got to have one from each phase, separate phases to make 220. Well, that's kind of like these people in the end times. That's kind of like the people that Paul talked to They just can't understand. They don't have the spiritual discernment. But right here, in this period of time, in the tribulation period, when Israel, when the Antichrist stands up right here, at this period of time, that's going to be a dawning point in history that they're going to remember something. When he does this, you will remember what I told you. There's going to be a time, fellas, when this takes place. And then when this takes place, you're going to remember what I said. Have you ever had a deja vu? This is going to be a deja vu right here. When the Antichrist stands up in the holy place, stands that he is God and exalts himself above everything that is God, they're going to know something's wrong. Something's wrong. The end is here.
This all goes right along with Tim LaHaye's Left Behind.
Yeah. Well, God's Word's been preached for 2,000 years. Just about 2,000 years almost that the Word of the New Testament has been preached about the second coming of the Lord. People are so afraid of it. And this is the last book of eschatology I'll be teaching, basically. We've taught the book of Revelation for 96 classes. We taught 1 Peter for 28 classes, and 2 Peter for 20 classes, and the book of Jude for 12 classes, and 1 Thessalonians for 34 classes. And now we're on 2 Thessalonians, and this was the 5th class. Is it starting to dawn upon you, some of the things? I mean, if you just keep on going over it. Some of you have been here all the time. How many of you have been here through all of them? A few. You get exposed to more of it, exposed to more of it, all the time. Finally, you get it. You know what it's talking about. People have come up to me and they says, "I just can't understand the book of Revelation." And I said, "Well, there are some things that we don't know about it yet, but there's a basic understanding. Israel is Israel, and the churches are the churches. God has a plan for Israel, and he has a plan for his churches. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be raptured. Then God's going to start dealing with the churches. Is that verse simple? That's why 110 plus 110 makes 220, isn't it? Real simple. If you know the key to the puzzle. Thank you for being here tonight and for studying God's Word with me. It's good to see you this number in the middle of summer. Brother Greg, it's so good to have you back. We really missed you. And good vacation. You can always catch up on these things on tape. So good to have you. Would you dismiss us in prayer, brother? And any of you that want these tapes or CDs, you just stop later and you can get them.
Father, we thank you.
And to
be in your presence today, Lord, we thank you for keeping us and watching over us. Pray that you continue to be with us, be with Brother Jim, and Lord, we just pray that we just thank you for him and the wisdom you've given him, and we thank you for the encouragement that will not be a surprise to us, Lord, who are here today when these things happen, and the church age ends, and we are raptured, and all that you've said will take place, will take place. We just thank you, Lord, for preparing us. We pray that you help us to be ready day by day to meet you. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name.